If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, known as Ashtar Athena, Sharon, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This is 1212, which actually means the stepping free of limitational fields, the transfiguration of humanity back into its original divine form, and the completion of the program that was initiated many eons ago through the root races and their matriculation through the schools of initiation on planet Earth. But tonight I want to listen, yes, inwardly, and communicate outwardly to what is grace. Grace is that factor that is supernaturally endowed into us at a spiritual level, which enables us and gives us the power to step free. And that is what we want to look at in relationship to what I've been talking about for the last couple of shows, and that's how to live in the higher vibrations of the divine consciousness, how to stay in that higher level that we would call the fifth dimension and or higher. And the secret is grace. Grace is the very essence of the formless divinity, the formless source we could define as grace. And when grace descends upon a person physically, it is referred to as glory. Glory is the visible evidence upon a person's life of the presence of God. You know often when a person is in that glorified state because their faces glow. In fact, it's said that Moses had to cover his face when he came down from an encounter with Elohim on the mountain. And his face glowed with such glory. I have many, many times seen this upon a person. And when a person is experiencing the descent of grace on their life, called often the beatific state or the beatitude state, it's definitely the beatitude, the attitude to be in, if you would be in the presence of God. And when you're in that beatific state, diseases disappear, the bondage of addictive patterns breaks free. There is the Spirit of the Lord. And whatever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's that freedom through grace. In the divine pre-fallen state of original innocence, we were, as souls, perfect, but inexperienced. In fact, some of the teachings say that soul was rejoicing and enjoying the presence of God, but was essentially selfish and not in the creative mode which soul is designed to be in. So therefore, the souls were cast out through myriads of worlds, and they fell into different forms and into different planetary systems and into different experiential levels. And the first experience of that fall, or that extension, if you will, you can look at it through different metaphors. Tonight I'm going to take a little different look at it. The first initial shock of that was a sense of separation from that womb, let's say, of perfection that grace or the wholeness of the formless God represented. And when soul went into that shock, which registered as fear, and then what we call the subsequent patterning of ego, which is where you try to edge God out by experiencing a life separate from God, you enter in the state of guilt and shame. And basically the whole dreary scenario that we call the third dimensional ego's karma drama. And this karmic drama plays out in a myriad of worlds and forms and manifestations. And why is that? Well, simply so that the soul can have all experience and to become wise and to return as the prodigal son, the one who has partaken of the corn husks, has eaten the slop and swill with the hogs, and has decided that he will get up from that and return to the Father and enter back into grace. And this is what the soul does ultimately and eventually. On the return path that humanity is on now, we will return back to that original state. But this time, we will bring with us the experience gleaned through being in the crucible of life in the lower worlds. That crucible of life in the lower worlds is what develops soul, which is very, very innocent and like a tabula rasa. There's not much definition to a new soul. They develop into a personality, a strong ego-based personality. And this develops into a powerful presentation in the outer world, which is essentially ego-centric. It is selfish, but it can be very powerful and also cruel, generally speaking. Through that process of working through that pattern, eventually there comes the cycle of life when the soul becomes infused or the personality becomes infused with the souls, when I'm referring to that light of the higher divine grace begins to filter down through the personality, transforming it, and it begins to move into what we call the states of awakening and God realization. As it becomes one with the monad or the I am presence, it returns once again to the Father. The return of the Son to the Father is really our moving back to original divine awareness, that state which in highest truth we've never ever left. It's interesting, you hear many, many theories today, and very often people will ask questions that imply that they want to know, well, what is the truth? And the fact is, there is some truth in all facts and some falsehood, because we live in a chiaroscuro world, which is light and dark and is a mixture, and therefore we have this conundrum, in the sense that you have this ball of yarn, and some of it's gray and some of it's black and some of it's white, and we just kind of have to pick and choose which we're going to go with. We will find out what works by working it, and we will learn through the process of eliminating what doesn't work and moving to what does work that we find that path of truth. Well, is there an absolute, ultimate truth? Well, yeah. It's a simple one. God is. After you've said that, anything else you add to that is going to be shades of illusion. Another one that's very close to the absolute truth is, I am that. Or, I am that I am. Could there be any others? Well, yeah, my favorite one that I often say, in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. Okay, well, where did God come from? This is much like which came first, the chicken or the egg. But I have an answer for you tonight. God, the God that we think of as a God with form, or the Father, Mother, actually came from the formless spirit. And that formless spirit is what we know as grace, or divine love, or unmerited favor. In other words, it just is that it is. And it is non-judging, loving, eternally living within us as us. From that spirit, you have the emergence of God with form. The first manifestation of God in a form at that level is called Sat Nam, which means true name. And it is the first manifestation that you encounter when you're on the path of the spiritual travelers, which I've spoken about in previous talks. Out of this God with form, we have the gods, the goddesses, the creative trinities, the silent ones, the paradise sons, the spiritual travelers. We also have archangels, angels, devas, elementals, man, and human, which is man which has returned back through the crucible of life to the divine state. So in this, beloveds, know that every single moment we are offered the opportunity to choose the easy way, grace, or the hard way to come under the law, which is really the school of hard knocks. If we want to move now into the fifth dimension, which is purely grace-based, we're going to need to learn how to live in grace. When I was very young, I was in a Catholic convent for a short period of time. But during that time, I really got to experience what it was like to be in a state of grace. And the state of grace, I noticed, came upon me when I was very clear in my relationship with God and with myself. When I had nothing that was upon my conscience that wasn't clear. I felt very shiny. I remember as a very young child feeling my face shine. And sometimes I would look in the mirror and it would be shining. I had a glow about me. And I noticed that the other children that were in a state of grace had also this glow about them. It is that innocence that we often just want to inhale and drink when we hold a young child or a baby. Before the age of six, that original innocence so glows from them. And it's truly a soul that has come fresh from the soul plane and still has that glory of God's presence upon it. It is that state that we come back into when we're truly born again of the Spirit. When we have that transformative touch and we have reconnected back into our original union with God and oneness with God, and we feel that presence glowing within our heart and within the very center of our innermost being, we begin once again to experience that divine fellowship that we were created to have with Source. Not only are we designed to have that fellowship in highest truth, we are that grace of God. We're part and parcel of that original grace of God, even as a cup of seawater partakes of the exact nature of the sea. So though we're part of God, we're of course not the whole enchilada. Only God is God. But because we are of that essence, it is our very nature to be exactly like the original. The cup of seawater differs from the sea only in quantity, but not in its quality itself. So living through grace is a choice where we ask ourselves, are we doing things the way that is the way of grace, the way of loving, the way of flowing, the way of cooperating, and staying present with what's going on? Or are we moaning and complaining and kvetching and making a litany against the world and a tirade against people and what they're doing in the world and what they're doing to us? When we're in the tirade rant consciousness, we're under law. And the law, of course, is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, vengeance, wrath, judgment, and the whole nine yards. That is really hell. Hell is, by definition, a state where you are experiencing complete separation from goodness and love and light and God. So don't live in hell a minute longer. Step free through grace. Choose the loving. The loving actually is an evidence, again, that you're living in a choice for grace. Because in the loving, you are manifesting the only quality that can be manifested that is absolutely perfect. If you want to be successful in this world, choose the loving. You'll notice, in fact, everything in the physical world is designed with an obsolescency factor built in. It begins to disintegrate. I spoke of entropy and centropy last week. And it begins the entropy, the collapse, the dissipation, and the decline, and the deterioration almost immediately, every form in the material world. So therefore, nothing can be called eternal and dependable except the loving, which is that factor of God and grace in each moment. So when you're in that state of flowing and cooperative love, you are, in fact, in that state of grace. The receiving and living in the loving of God and being that loving to others is actually the only reason we're here on Earth. We are actually designed to be transmitting communicative devices for this divine love and this grace. We're instruments through which this formless divine essence can take manifestation in the outer world. That grace is able to transcend time, space, matter, energy, all the laws, in a nanosecond, even faster than a nano instant. It is out of time as we know it. This is why diseases can vanish, because it's a return to original state without any need for the linear retracking and tracing through the timelines. Grace is living above disease. It's living above law. It's living above karma. It's living in the presence of God, even while you're walking on earth. It's being of the kingdom of heaven and manifesting it at the same time upon earth. The kingdom of heaven has been defined as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's joy in the awareness that the wholeness and completeness that we see and experience in ourselves is the whole spirit. We are essentially whole. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing to be fixed. There is nothing that has been omitted. And so all we need to do is receive and rejoice. This whole process of trying to fix ourselves and fix our world and fix things and change things, actually, the more we try to do that, the more we make a mess of things. How often have we seen the great yogis and saints in the Himalayas tell us, sit down and do something? In other words, sit down, be still, and know that I am God. Chill out. Carry. What's the hurry? Ever watch, as I have, how people go like so many ferrets in the cage, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on the freeways and the byways and the roads, and they're rushing and honking and going nuts, and they're actually going nowhere. Nowhere at all. I like to do bizarre out-of-body surveys of life, and I used to go to a place in my inner spirit where I could look way down on the earth, and I would watch people doing what they do, going about the gerbil cage existence of, you know, bed to bathroom to refrigerator to work to freeway to home to bed to the whole thing, just over and over and over. But there wasn't anything really being done. There was nothing of any eternal value in all of this. And then I would look in the Himalayas, and I would look at some of the yogis and some of the masters and some of the different people. Not all in the Himalayas now. Many of the masters are actually living in the cities and above the cities and the mountains and hills above some of your major areas now in the United States and throughout the world, due to the externalization of the hierarchy. But the point is, they were doing very, very simple lives. There wasn't a lot of outer dashing about or anything. They were very quiet and still. Most people didn't even know that they were masters. They lived an ordinary life in extraordinary ways that had cosmic ramifications. And they were all, of course, needless to say, living in grace and tributaries of living grace unto this world. And each one of us who are here on Earth assignment, that's often what I call us. We are living tributaries of grace unto this world. Grace is something that is bestowed unmerited, because it's not anything that you need to earn. It is not anything that is, in fact, earned in the highest sense. In the highest sense, it is not for anything you do, but because of what you are eternally as part of God. You might say it's God's own smile of self-approval upon itself or himself or herself. So that kiss of approval begins with how you regard yourself. Do you have your own good graces? Are you your own best friend? Do you look in the mirror and say, I am the beloved, the only begotten of the Father, in whom he is well pleased? Or do you avoid your own eyes when you look into that mirror? It's an interesting thing to feel your own approval, your own blessing upon your own life. Why look at that which has never been true of yourself when you could look at the face of the Beloved, the Christ itself, in your own face, your own eyes? It is that sense of grace that we can begin to look for. You will know when you're in God consciousness and in a complete state of grace, when all you notice all around you is the beauty, the goodness, the graciousness, the kindness, the benevolence of all life. When that's all you see, you will know that you have become the very grace of God, that you're manifesting your true nature. When you are in God consciousness, you only see God. But how can we see God? We can't see God except through the forms moving about in the world, which are actually the temples of the living God. Oh, God comes in many disguises. That is the test of the soul. Can the soul see the face of the Beloved in some of its most distressing disguises, as Mother Teresa described the dying and the diseased in the streets of Calcutta? She saw only Jesus in some of his most distressing disguises. Beloved, when you see the goodness in another person, when you notice the shining in their eyes, when you see the dimple and the sparkle in that smile, when you see that wizened old face rich with the wisdom of years and much experience, you're actually seeing God. You can, I suppose, visualize God in the form of your favorite deity, Krishna or Sai Baba or Jesus. But my goodness, when you boil all of those wonderful manifestations of God down to one essential syrup, you get sweetness, don't you? Sweetness is the very nature of God, the Beloved. It's that sweetness, that gentleness, that kindliness that is the evidence of the presence of God in a person's life, a person that you could say was living in grace. How often we see the face of grace on some very sweet elderly people who have spent their life doing good and being devoted to their spiritual life. I can remember some of my elders in the family of this body and how their faces shone with years of charitable service and Bible study and living simple and godly and wholesome lives. We don't see that so much today because people have edged God out and in many cases don't give God a single thought. But I know if you're listening to my radio show, you're not in that category. Otherwise, you would have stopped listening a long time ago, because this show is about beginning to really manifest ourselves as sons and daughters of Christed anointing. We are the messiahs. We are the collective messiahs. We are those souls who are choosing to live outrageously grace-filled, beautiful, and holy lives in a world that seems to have lost its way. We're making uncommon choices. We're going against the grain of the world. Because, as I've often said, if you see all the world doing it, do just the opposite, and you'll be in the right way. The path to God is the inner path. It's where you stop following the lead of the pack. you begin to go up that mountain peak on that solitary path that is small and narrow, and you have to pick your way carefully because there's at every turn there's a branch to snag you or a serpent lying in the bushes or some other thing. So you have to go carefully through your life, very carefully, making selective choices that you know will be the way of the greatest and the highest good. We're calling forth your divine destinies. We're issuing a challenge that you can be as great as you desire to be, as you know in your heart you were meant to be. But it calls for courage. You have to have the courage to step free of those things that most people get bogged down in. And also watch the people that you keep association with. Unless you're very, very strong, you do not benefit by being with people who are basically lost and not choosing consciously to walk the higher path. Because you've chosen to walk a higher path, your options become narrowed down in terms of what is appropriate for you to be engaged with if you want to make the best use of these final years in this cycle. I say final years because we are actually, according to many, many people, very likely to be chronologically in the year 2012. Well, that's going out on a limb there. But the Gregorian calendar is actually 4 years off the years that we're calculating our time by. The lunar calendar is probably much more accurate, always has been. There are three different Mayan versions of the calendar. So chronologically, we are in the last stages of this cycle, and we're getting ready to do something huge, a quantum leap to a higher level, whether you call it the beam up or the ascension or transdimensional relocation, which is what I call it, or dimensional warping or whatever. We are not going to stay where we've been very much longer. We have such anomalies in the weather now. This week, the last few days, we've had ice storms here in the North American continent that has literally shut down cities and whole entire areas under almost an inch of solid ice. So you have unusual times and unusual things taking place. No one can sit complacently and say, oh, well, things are always the way they've always been. Get your head out of the sand. This is the time that we are making a definite choice to be fish or fowl. What are we going to do here? Are we going to fly high or not? The flying high is prioritizing living in love. It's just that simple. You are wasting time if you're trying to fix another person, if you're trying to spend all of your time in rant mode, you're wasting your time. Go into that place and touch into that grace that you are, and you will do more for the world than anything else that you could possibly do. It's so very simple when we live in grace. It's as easy as breathing in and breathing out. Remember, too, that everything that you desire by spiritual law, you will have. You must have. So watch the desires that you place out, because you must return to the place where you can have those desires fulfilled. And I tell you the truth, there's nothing on earth that can compare with the pleasures that can be had on other planets, on other levels. Because planet Earth, in case you haven't noticed, isn't particularly comfortable or pleasant in terms of your everyday living. I find even the food down here gets boring. Everything, after a while, it's like, enough already. Isn't there? There's some variety here beyond this, which has always been available. So at some point, you really get tired of the daily fare of existence in the physical level. And you either go into a deep funk called the dark night of the soul at that point, or at some point you choose the bright day of a new day in which you make a choice for God, a choice to make God the absolute center of your life, and you begin to be a deep, deep seeker, an inquirer into what's beyond the form, what's beyond life, what's beyond the clouds, what's beyond. Go beyond, go beyond, go beyond. Go deeper. When you think you've found it, say, let me pass, I want more. If you think you found it, go beyond. No matter where you are, keep going. It's called etc. Eternally traveling consciousness. Never stop. Never give up. Keep going. The best is being revealed in each step that you take, out of the consciousness of loving, out of the consciousness of grace, out of the consciousness of forgiveness, out of the consciousness of seeking and yearning for and loving truth above all else. When truth has become your way of life, you will never settle for any form of deception or deceit. Truth is satya. Truth is God. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Truth, goodness, beauty. That is God. That is the essence that you are. That is what we keep moving towards. What is the beautiful path? What is the essence of goodness that you can impart to people in every exchange that you have? Be it a smile, be it a pat on the shoulder, be it a warm and loving handshake. Whatever it is, put your heart into it and give of that essence. You will find that whenever you contract and withhold your love, you will instantly enter into pain and you will come under the law of karma. That is very interesting because whatever we resist becomes bigger and more of a problem for us. And even when you have a lot of physical pain, if you tighten up and resist, there's more pain. In fact, they've found that when you say, I love you, that your whole body opens like a flower to the sun. That very mantra, I love you, opens up. When a woman is birthing, if she says that, it opens and dilates the cervix so the child can be born more easily. That's one of the reasons they like husbands to be at the wife's head when a woman is in the delivery room. So therefore, I love you. When you wake up in the morning, let that be your very first mantra. Say it to yourself. Say it to those in your life. Say it to your form of God. Say it to your gurus and your teachers. Just start your day with, I love you. I thank you for the gift of life, my Father. I thank you that I can be alive, to be who I am, to know what I am, to do what I do. Oh, thank you for that privilege. Remember, beloveds, that everything in your life, everything about you is there to be used for your upliftment, your learning, and your growth. There's absolutely nothing in your life that is not important for you at this time. If that were not so, it wouldn't be in your life. So the very first law of spirit is to accept that which is. Become at peace with that which is. There's no sense fighting and being frustrated. That's putting yourself back under that law of limitation and hardship. Step free through grace. Say, thank you, Father. I don't understand what this is all about, but you do. I'm not in control. You are. Give yourself the permission to relinquish control. Really and truly, you have an inner built-in guide, the Holy Spirit, that lives inside you as your inner master, as your inner teacher. And this Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, will teach you everything you need to know, will speak to you in the form of your conscience when you do something that isn't quite in alignment with your loving, will give you the opportunity to step free through grace. And that's how easy it is to walk in that state. It's just as easy as breathing in and breathing out, staying present with your process, and responding from the loving of your heart, moment to moment. It's receiving the grace of God, which says, you are my beloved. I love you. Everything in your life is important and precious to me. I care about what you eat, how you dress, how you feel. I care about the things that bother you and worry you. I care about your bills. I care about your children. It's an amazing thing when you realize that you are personally loved. You know, you have to understand something. The divine consciousness that we call God has many different levels of manifestation. You have the impersonal formless. You have the personal with form. You have the mentoring through the masters. You have the saving through Jesus the Christ. You have the different avatar forms that manifest the different qualities. And you have God himself, herself, itself, living in you as the divine spirit of life itself that tabernacles inside your body. You are the temple in which the loving presence of God, the comforter, the teacher, is present. That's the only teacher you know, you need to know. That's the only truth you need to follow. That's the only voice you need to heed. It tells you everything from within your own self. And that part is so personal. Some people call it Jesus the Christ, and that is not inaccurate. The Spirit is the same as Jesus. The Spirit is the same as God the Father. They're all one and the same, and they live inside you and manifest as the truth itself, which sets you free, that we call grace. So as we live in close communion with the presence of the living God that dwells in your heart, that is in the center of your loving, that is the comforter in the midst of your pain, that is the strength that enables you to overcome and to transcend and to transform, that is the changing factor within you that's transforming you from glory to glory and from divine revelation to divine revelation. It is the Spirit that uncovers all hidden things and makes all things new. So in that consciousness that you touch into when you begin to choose to be loving, when you choose the goodness, when you choose to speak of good things and sweet things and wholesome things and pure things and lovely things and only that, and you let your mouth be full of gratitude and praise and acknowledgement and encouragement, you have become a tributary of living grace unto this world. And you are manifesting the messianic consciousness of the Christed One, the Anointed One. Grace is another way of saying that you're living in that anointing, in that empowerment that is divinely bestowed. Grace is something that comes as a result of a choice that you make inwardly, a choice to be the best you can be, to be everything that you were divinely created to be. And you realize that you're powerless to do that without God. There's no way we can make ourselves into anything. We have no power to make anything of ourselves. It's designed that way so that we don't, as egos, get the credit. When we have lives that were in the dredges of despair, and suddenly that supernatural grace lifts us and transforms us, we know that we had nothing to do with it. When we've been given a death sentence by a doctor and we have only a few months to live or weeks or even days in some cases, and suddenly that spirit of supernatural grace touches to us and utterly heals us and restores us to health, did we have anything to do with that? No. And yet these things happen every day. What about the person addicted to some horrible drug or some other dreadful bondage, and they're absolutely in the dredges and in the gutters of absolute hopelessness, and supernatural grace touches them and they're set free in an instant. I personally, beloved, know hundreds and hundreds of people that can give you that testimony. And how did they receive that? All they did was come like a little child and ask, "Please, Father, I want to be restored in perfect union, perfect harmony with you. Come into my heart, Lord. Manifest your grace. Give me your grace. Show me how to live in grace. I want that. I want a new life. I want a new attitude. I want that beatitude. That beatitude that Jesus spoke of when he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be a child of God. I want to be one who sees God. To see God, beloved, all you need to do is look through the eyes of grace. Look through the eyes of love. See beyond to that beloved emissary of divine light and love that stands before you, that is the beloved, the only begotten, uniquely begotten Son of God. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. Only some are aware of it and received it, and some are yet to become aware of it and to receive it. But ultimately it is said that not one soul shall be lost. Why? Because God is that one life living through all forms. And God can't be lost, and you can't be lost. We can only delay our bliss. We can only delay, but we can't lose eternal love. You can lose all things, beloved, but you can never lose who you are. And you are the love and the grace of God, woven into the fabric of time and space, being and becoming. Awaken, beloveds. That is the only thing to do. And return your holy mind to the truth that remains shining deep within you. When you do, and you look through the eyes of your heart, you will see everywhere you look the face of the beloved. You will love everything without seeking to change it or manipulate it or control it or to do anything with it, but you will appreciate it. Everything in life is lovely when it is looked at through the eyes of love. And when you see despair, do what you can to alleviate it. Where you see tears, dry them and bring comfort. Feed the hungry. Clothe those who need clothing. Give shelter to those who have no place and no one to care for them. Be the Christ in this world. Be the server. Be the emissary of heaven. Be the one that when you leave, people will scratch their heads and say, "Surely that was an angel. That wasn't a human. Could that have been one of the masters?" Let them talk like that about you, but let your name be silent. Give always the credit to the Lord. In that way, beloveds, you will pass through this life as a Christ. You will leave a trail of radiance. You will be a vision carrier. You will be one who has brought transformative love into a world that has forgotten. And you will be a way that people can follow home. You will be that bridge over troubled waters. Because grace is where we are bridged through God's love from where we in the human instrumentality fall short, and we all do, so that God can do the grace bridge for us. And in that bridging, that God does for us, we are called to do for our fellow brothers and sisters in this world. Beloveds, we are in a time when the things are so riveting that are happening in the outer world. And yet, if you study history, does it not just repeat itself over and over? One thing I would like to ask of all of you is to remind yourself that there is no enemy except that sense of otherness and separation that causes us to contract and withhold our love from certain people, certain religions, certain races, certain ideologies. I mentioned once that my teacher taught me long ago the magic words to say over people, over situations, over world affairs. And they're simply this: I love you. God bless you. Peace. Be still. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your hearts and over all your choices. For peace, again, is a manifestation of the spirit of grace that you are. That is your birthright, beloveds. Do not be a follower of the world, but be a follower of the Lord in the world. Step free of negativity through the grace of God. You have been forgiven. You have already been redeemed. You have already been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. You have been set upon a new path. All you need to do, beloved, is to receive it. And it's yours. Take it like a little child takes an apple out of the hand of its mother. And dance off as carefree as a butterfly, dancing and soaring and somersaulting in the light of a beautiful brand new day. That day can be yours now. That moment can be yours now. That choice is here and now. Step free through grace, beloved. The love of God is what sustains and is the adhesive that is the cohesive quality that holds us all together. The love of God keeps this planet floating in space. It keeps the seasons turning. It keeps your breath going in and out. It preserves you when you sleep and guides you from embodiment to embodiment, and will see you home safely. All is well. Be at peace, beloveds. Be at peace. Choose the loving and stay in grace. No need for shame, no need for blame. All has been forgiven. Receive it now. And know that you are loved. You are blessed because you are divine. God created you for one reason. We ask Sai Baba, why, Lord, did you create? Speaking to him as a representation of God. And he said, having no one to know my love, I created all life that I might experience my own love and give love and receive love. You are my own love, loving me in return. Beloveds, love. Love God. Love yourself. Love your master. Love your teachers. Love your pets. Love nature. Love your problems. Love your worries and your diseases and everything else. And step free through grace. Give your problems to the Lord and receive from him grace. You'll know you're in grace when you feel that deep, deep peace abiding in your heart all the time. No matter what's happening on the surface of your life, there's a deep joy and a deep peace and a deep content. shall know that you know that you know all is well. That, beloved, is living free in a state of grace. That is the kingdom of heaven. That is the fifth dimension. That is the messianic state of being. That is your birthright. That is your nature. With all the love of my being, I send forth the united blessings of the throne worlds, of the Lord Emmanuel Sananda, of the Ashtar Galactic Command, and all of the many, many beings that stand in that divine line of authority, serving by your side in this world at this time and on all the dimensional planes. And as we bring our show gradually to a close, I'd like to sing a little bhajan, and you can sing it with me. In fact, it's so easy, you'll probably like to sing it after the show is off the air. You are loved, you are blessed, because you are divine. You are loved, you are blessed, because you are divine. Now own it. I am loved, I am blessed, because I am divine. I am loved, I am blessed, because I am freedom that is your birthright, as an emanation from the very heart of God, as you put forth loving as your only duty, as your only imperative, as your only true, enduring, divine directive, you will find that everything in your life is taken care of. The debts get paid, the problems dissolve, the illnesses clear up, the people who were your enemies even turn to bless you. But even if they don't, extend to your worst enemy the love and the grace of God and say to them, I love you. God bless you. Peace. Be still. Be the one who extends the loving, expecting nothing in return. Just love. Just live to love. Just be the living love. And you will be the light of this world. And the light, remember, is an acronym for living in God's holy thoughts. That is the light, living in God's holy thoughts. And light and love and grace and the peace of God and the joy of God are all one and the same Holy Spirit. And once again, we send you our blessings as we bring our show to a close with a few of our beloved hues. Hue. 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 Holy Christmas to all.